The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you so much for choosing to involve me here with your Sunday morning. As we enter August, this will be my sixth year here in Carroll. I want to say this is 9 years. I've been thinking about it. Pretty certain it's at least eight. It's at least completing 8 years with the show, and which is crazy. You know, I talked about it before. I never thought. I went in to do a guest. I was a guest on a morning show, and I got to be honest with you, I don't remember what morning show it was. It was on WHO 8 years ago. I don't listen on Sunday morning. I'm typically not listening to the radio. But whatever show it was, after I was done, they asked me if I wanted to have my own show, and it was never anything that I ever would have considered. It wasn't something I aspired to, but I had done a lot of public speaking, and you know, I play music, and I thought, well, let's give it a go. And so here we are, 8 years later this month, and you know, I still enjoy it. I really enjoy it, because I think the thing that's the most rewarding for me is when a patient comes in and says, hey, I feel like I know you. You know, things like that. And it just, I think it deepens, because at this point in my, it deepens the relationship that I have with some patients. And at this point in my career, I always have thrived on the relationship. So when I started my career, I was on the island of Kauai, and it's a very rural island, 60,000 people on the island. And there's two hospitals on that island. One is on the west side where I was, and one is on the east side. The east side was sort of the bigger hospital. It would be more like what St. Anthony's is. And the hospital on the west side, where I was sort of what you would consider what your typical county hospital looks like, 25 beds, that kind of stuff. And it was an amazing human experience, because, you know, I was living on that side. So I lived in Kekaha, which is the westernmost town on the island of Kauai. It's 1,500 people. And then the hospital was about a mile and a half east of that. And it's called Waimea is the name of that town. There's a Waimea on the Big Island too, but that's not it. There's a Waimea on Kauai. And that's where the hospital was. And that town might have 2,500 in it, something like that. And then the next town over was Hanapepe, which again, these are all, they're, even Lihue, which is the biggest city on the island, I think has 6,000. Maybe Kapa'a's bigger now. I don't know. Anyway, it's a bunch of small towns. There's only 60,000-70,000 people on the whole island. It's about, I'd say 70% of the island or more, maybe even 80% of the island is multi-generational, like been there forever. And on the west side, the whole island was sort of sugar plantations and resorts forever. First sugar plantations, then the resorts came. Elvis did a movie there. And I don't remember the name of either. I think it was Blue Hawaii. Anyway, and that resort actually got hit pretty hard in Hurricane Iniki in 1991, and they never really rebuilt it. But it was all sugar plantations, and it brought this amazing mix of different people, immigrants from different countries over different times. There would be, you have a bunch of people would come over to, because they knew that there were jobs in the sugar plantation. So one period of time, you would get a lot of Filipino immigrants, and then you would have a lot of Japanese immigrants, and then you would have a lot of Portuguese immigrants, and then there was a lot of Chinese immigrants, and then, of course, the Hawaiians were there the whole time, and the culture just mixed in this amazing, rich tapestry of just... It's an amazing place because it's just these cultures. Like the ukulele was developed by the Portuguese immigrants, and then sort of further honed by the Hawaiians, and just all of this amazing stuff. And even now, you know, there's a bon dance season because there's a heavy Buddhist Japanese population there, and they have what's called bon dances, and they at the Buddhist temples they have these big celebrations, and they'll build a big tower in the courtyard, and they'll all a lot of the, especially the elderly people, the ladies will put on really traditional kimonos and dance around this in a circle, and they build these beautiful taiko drums, the big wooden drums, or kind of like the size of a bass drum, and it's just, you know, so there's bon dance season, and then the Portuguese developed this music called kachi kachi music, which is very unique to Hawaii, and it's got a little bit of, you know, sort of different flavors to it. It would definitely sounds like a Latino kind of, but it's almost got a little bit of a reggae beat back in the back there. And they'll have kachi kachi dances, and it's just, anyway. So what I'm getting at is, in that setting, even though I was busy, it was never overwhelming, and so I always had time to really sit and just talk and get to know my patients. And when I, you know, would squeeze orange juice out of my trees in my yard and take it into my patients on Saturday morning if they happen to still be in the hospital, or, you know, things like that. People, you know, I had patients come to my, I mean, it was just a big family. They came to my wedding, and it was just a big family. Again, it's that human connection. And there have been times in my career when I was just too overwhelmed with just the volume of the work, that I wasn't really able to do that. And even though over the last 6 or 8 years now, even though there have been times when I was super overwhelmed, before Dr. Dirks got here to Carroll, I was the only one here, and it is a two surgeon practice for sure. And so, you know, I was kind of underwater, but once he got here, and of course he's a hometown hero, so he gets, he everybody wants to see Dr. Dirks, and it's really neat because he already has that human connection because he grew up here. So, you know, you leave the office, I'll be walking through the office, and someone will be leaving, oh, tell your mom hi, oh, you know, and it's just really neat. And I kind of, since I didn't, you know, I didn't grow up here in Carroll. I came here 6 years ago, and of course, you know, you build some community over that time frame. But it's never going to be anything like that. What he has, but the radio show is a different kind of community. Whether the people are here in the Carroll area or Ottumwa, and I do get patients come here from Ottumwa. I get patients come from really all over the state because they, you know, they hear what I'm doing. You know, we have the Mako robot, we have this really wonderful hospital that also has a tremendous human touch to it. And so I do get these people, and they come in, and it's just so fun. It's just it keeps me going, because, you know, that human connection is why I went into medicine in the first place. Orthopedics, I went into medicine because, so I had wanted to go into investment banking. And the reason for that was because my mom and I, when we were growing up, we never really had any money, and I wanted to do well. And I had just heard, oh, investment bankers do well. And so I was on that track. But my dad had worked for United Airlines, and they had gone out on strike. And then when I was in college, and it just kind of ruined, not my dad, but a lot of his friends. I mean, people got divorces, people's kids had to drop out of college, you know, people died, heart attacks, and, you know, you can't say, well, it was exactly that, but it was terrible on those guys, on those people at United at the time. And this was back in the late 80s. And then this movie Wall Street came out, and in the movie, Charlie Sheen is the young investment banker, and Martin Sheen is his dad, and he's a mechanic for an airline. And then, of course, Michael Douglas is kind of the head of the investment banking firm, and he's telling Charlie Sheen, well we're going to take over. I remember these details because it was a life-changing movie for me. And it was Blue Star Airlines, and he's like, we're going to take over Blue Star Airlines. And Charlie Sheen's like, damn, man, that's my dad. And they're going to take his pension and go, you know, put him out of work. And that kind of, you know, they didn't put my dad out of work, but they did take his pension. And so he had to go to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. Anyway, when that all happened, I said, you know, this is not what I'm doing. I want to go to work and I want to do good things for people. And I want there to be no, like, I want to work with other people who are doing good things for people. And that's why I chose medicine. And then I chose orthopedics because, well, I just like to fix things and I like immediate satisfaction rather than, you know, some other specialties. It might take you tell the patient, okay, this is, you know, take this pill, exercise, do that. And 6 months later, they come back and they've made some incremental progress. And that's awesome. I mean, it's very important. It's the foundation of our healthcare system is trying to really, honestly, I think the most important thing, if you ask most doctors, what would be the most important thing is just to help people take care of themselves better. You know, and a lot of that is just, you know, diet and exercise is 90% of it. I've talked about that on the show for a long time. Diet and exercise, obviously no smoking, you know, that's just out of the box, like the smartest thing. I mean, all that kind of stuff. But if you asked most doctors, I want to help people be healthier and get them off of medications and things like that. And that's all a personal responsibility thing. But anyway, my point is lifestyle can lead to arthritis. For instance, if you're obese, your knees and your hips are going to give out sooner. And so I have had some success helping people to, you know, make some dietary and lifestyle changes. And now that the GLP-1s seem to be much better covered by insurance, I think that there's some great hope for people who have struggled with their weight. And you know that, but other than that, really, I mean, if you get a rotator cuff tear, it's usually a degenerative process. It's usually not an injury, or if it's an injury, anyway, it's not as much a lifestyle choice. So I don't really, except for that one thing in those cases, I'm basically taking care of somebody who is just either injured or has, you know, degenerative arthritis or a rotator cuff tear or carpal tunnel syndrome or something like that. And I can take them if the things that we try before surgery aren't relieving their symptoms, we take them to surgery and then they're just better. And I like that. You know, I'm a fixer and I've always liked mechanical things, but the human interaction part of it at this point in my practice, when, you know, I'm still busy, I think I had 28 patients in the clinic today, but while that sounds like a lot, it's not 40. And, you know, some of them are just, popping in after surgery, 6 weeks or 10 weeks out or something like that and saying, okay, it looks good. We'll see you in another 3 months. So the patients that I do get a chance to spend some time with, there's almost always time. I'm never really pushed and pressed like I used to be. And I really like that. I really like to be able to, you know, talk about the patients and get a sense of who they are. And I don't have the type of, you know, orthopedics is not the, you know, if I've had a patient for years and years and years, that means they've had a few different things wrong, right? Whereas a primary care doctor, well, you know, it's just maintenance. I don't do maintenance, right? I mean, if you're fine, you don't need to come see me. So if I've had patients for years and years, that means they had a shoulder problem, then they had a knee problem, then they maybe had another shoulder. And I do have those patients. I have patients right now that I've had for, I still get patients come up here that from when I was down at Wayne County, I still have patients from that area come up here and say, yeah, you fixed my knee 10 years ago and I liked you. And I just love that aspect of the practice. And the radio show is sort of the ultimate embodiment of that, because it's, you know, I mean, I talk a lot about orthopedics. I want to make it informative. I want people who are never going to come see me, listen to this show and get some education and help them advocate for their own care and help them understand their care a little bit better. Understanding, you know, like I just went last week, I went over back pain and sciatica, and I'm hoping that anybody who's seen any kind of a provider, whether it's a chiropractor or a spine surgeon, I hope that maybe I answered a question or two that they might have had regarding either the anatomy or, well, why does, I still don't understand why my leg hurts if the problem's in my back, those kind of things. So I want the show to be informative and helpful, but, and you know, I'll never know. You know, I occasionally get some messaging, either, you know, someone will sometimes just send letters to the office or whatever and say, oh yeah, you know, I never did see you, but you helped me with this, you know, just by the radio show. So I just love that part of it. I love, and like I said, my favorite thing is a new patient who has come from a distance from Carol and who said, you know, I feel like I know you because I've listened to you for, you know, I mean, if you listen to the show, you know, my daughter's on her way to Missouri in, well, from the time I'm recording, 12 days, and we'll be taking her down there to drop her off. And if you listen to the show consistently, you've sort of been through that emotional whirlwind with me. And, you know, what happens is you drop them off and you cry. And I only know this because I've talked to people. You drop them off, you cry, and then you go down for the first football game and it's really good. And by the time they come home for Christmas, you're used to not seeing them and it's just a treasure. But it's going to take me a long time. I'm very, very close with my family. I have lived and breathed family, well, since I was married, and you know, everything else. You know, I even just made sure career-wise that I never lost sight of the number one, two, and three thing, which is family. I remember when I was at Georgetown in medical school, I was on the surgery rotation, and the chairman of the surgery department stood up and he said, I want to thank my wife for single-handedly raising my kids. He was retiring and his kids were adults. And as soon as those words came out of his mouth, I said, oh boy. I'm not giving that speech. I didn't want to, and there was always an opportunity. There's always an opportunity in orthopedics to work more and do more and, you know, put yourself in a position where that's basically all you do. And I've always tried to balance that with, being able to have, you know, those times with my family, and I wouldn't change it for anything. You know, it's like, I wouldn't change my time in Hawaii for anything, even now. I wouldn't go back and trade any of that, but yeah, it's been quite an experience, and here we are. So, like I said, I started in the month of August in 2020 here at Carroll, and I love it. And, you know, it's developed into, when I came here, the previous doctor, who had been here mostly by himself for about 15 years, 12 years, something like that, had left, and they really hadn't found the right person to come in, because it just takes just the right person to come to a place like Carroll. And then I was here, and it was, you know, sort of immediately obvious that we needed to get two. And so we were able to get Dr. Dirks to come back home, and now he's been here full time for 2 years. I believe this month is full time 2 years for him. He came for a couple years as a visitation or as an outreach, and then we snagged him. but right now it's perfect. And the human connection that this radio show provides for me and for my practice is really something that I've really embraced and really am happy for. And those of you who have been longtime listeners, and maybe even if I'm never going to meet you, I appreciate the listening. I hope you get something from it, and I hope everything's well in your world. And I hope that something that I've, either some information I've given you, or just maybe some of my musings have helped you along the way in some way. And yeah, so just thinking about my 6 years here, and yeah. So next week we'll talk a little bit more about orthopedics, but I hope everybody's doing great, and you have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.